Manchester, just completed my dissertation about 3 weeks ago. I'm free again. I need to find something to do now. I want it on the communion table, right at the front. They went round, they went that way. Going to the loo. No, they just disappeared into the loo. Nearly Dr. Baker's stick. Oh.
I've never had one of these before. How fancy. Normally I just have to yell.
Stick that in the pocket.
When am I talking?
You're talking. I'll show you a few bits.
Don't fancy. Testing, testing.
So you're coming in and singing him. Then I'm going to show your slides, mm-hmm. and I might call on you to help identify some of the things. We're going to run through them once.
Okay, I didn't realise that's the name of them all. Can I call the spider a spider?
You can call the spider a spider.
I think it's actually a garden spider, to be fair.
Then we're going to do the sharing with the children. Is it okay for me to do that bit?
Yeah.
Mainly because they...
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. There's a couple more little...
Oh, fantastic.
now. I'm going to hide him for a moment. Hide him. Or her.
That's how you get for a secret Santa when he's done pieces.
And then we're going to sing He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. And after
Lovely.
That, I'll just say a few words and then you can say some stuff there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
That's easy enough.
Excellent. Hello. We have met a couple times. Everybody's going
to
leave loving beavers.
Yeah.
I thought you meant.
Oh, she's not a doctor yet. She's doing a PhD study, so that's clear. That's clear. No, she's just Melanie Bennett.
No. Tegan, I'm sorry to hear about
Got another year to go before she finally
Kids. Can't say hello to him.
Oh, it's 3.5 years. Well, forget not that. I think she's got a grand for 3.5 years.
Mother always says
You're going in the church first.
St. Paul's the main one in the point at which it was?
No, St. Paul's. St. Paul's.
Waitrose.
Waitrose. Yeah. You go straight on. It's just there on that next corner.
Oh yes, now I went.
Yeah, I did go there. Went to school visit there once.
Good morning, and a very, very warm welcome to you on this slightly grey and drizzly spring morning. I couldn't help noticing on the way down here that the crocuses are out, and some of the daffodils are in flower as well, and magnolia tree just out of the window. So it's wonderful to see signs of new growth and spring well and truly on its way, and the glory of God's creation. It gives me great pleasure to, first of all, notice this before I introduce Richard. We have a number of options in terms of Lent studies over the next few weeks. Mandy is leading a group here on Monday.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not? Oh, sorry, Mandy. Yes, so Bible study, yes. Right. Otherwise, Gawsworth, let's get this right, are running that one. The interestingly entitled Christ and the Chocolaterie. Yeah, so that's at Gawsworth Church. At 1 o'clock, starting on Tuesday the 20th of February. Also, so that's one option for Lent courses. The other option is Presbury. Roz is leading a number of meetings at Presbury Methodist Church, 10:30 to 11:30, starting from the 14th of February. It's a Wednesday, so that's on Wednesday, and that's for 6 weeks. If you're not able to get over to Presbury but would like to join in, you can also join via Zoom as well. So plenty of Lent courses going on, and it would probably be a really good thing to do on the run-up to Easter if you can to join one of those courses. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome Melanie this morning, who's going to talk about some of her PhD study work. Reintroducing a new species at Delamere Forest. Two exciting things there. The idea of introducing a new species to this country is I think, really, really great news. And also Delamere Forest. I don't know how many of you have been over there, but it is a wonderful place. It's a very, very special place in terms of wildlife and just, again, the glory of God's creation. So welcome to you all. Very welcome to stay for tea and coffee and a chat afterwards. So the notice is over. It gives me great pleasure to welcome Richard to lead our service of worship. So, thank you, Richard.
Good morning, everybody. Wonderful to see you here. It's one of those open arrangement services, which I think in the past we kind of dreaded, but now we're learning how to use them and how to use our worship time a little bit differently. So this time I've chosen to use it by inviting my daughter Melanie along to come and talk to us a little bit about her studies and her work. So she'll be doing that a little bit later in the service. I've done that partly because there's a real strong environmental message from the work that Mel's doing. So let's start off with a well-known hymn to come this morning. Morning has broken. 136 in the hymn books. Please be seated. Here are our first slide, please. There we go. Okay. Now, as well as being a PhD student scientist, environmental scientist, Mel is also growing into a more and more accomplished photographer. So I thought, as our prayers of thanks this morning, we'd run through a series of pictures that Mel's taken over the last few years. And I wonder if some of the young people could help me. Hey? You're going to help? You're going to look at the pictures on the screen? And can you tell me what some of these pictures are? Do you know what that is? That's fine. It's quite right. It's moss, isn't it? Hey? It's moss, so we've got one. That's a picture of some moss. And what's this a picture of?
Frog.
Oh, is it a frog?
Lizard.
That's right. We got a lizard. Where was that taken, Mel?
That's the south of France.
South of France. So on holiday in the south of France, you go to see lizards. What's that? Yeah, what is it? It could be a mangrove tree. It's actually a tree in Delamere Forest, okay? But it's certainly a tree that's growing in water. So it's like the British equivalent of a mangrove tree in some ways. Ooh, what's that? An aeroplane? It's not actually an aeroplane. It is flying, though, isn't it? There's a clue from the sky. When do you think this picture was taken? Bats, that's right. So this is a picture of a bat. That's right. That's how a bat flies, isn't it? So that's a bat that's flying. Oh, what are these? That's the branch of a tree, isn't it? Where do you older ones know what's growing on the tree? That's right. Somebody said it. It's a lichen or a lichen. Nobody ever knows how to pronounce it. What's the expert say?
Oh, God, don't say lichen. I'd say lichen.
You'd say lichen. Okay. What's this, Alex? That is a frog peering out of the the pool, isn't it? Yeah, with those little eyes coming out of the pool. What's that? Think it's a grasshopper? It's a bit hidden, isn't it? Cricket? Spider? It's actually a spider. Can you see it's quite round? That's the round body of a spider. What we got here? Can you see what's the hidden on this picture at the centre of the flower? What are they?
Butterflies.
There are some ladybirds, aren't there? Can you see the red ladybirds?
Ladybirds,
that's right. And, oh, what's this? Kate, do you know what that is?
Butterfly!
Butterfly, yeah. You don't need a loudspeaker, do you? A microphone, no. What's this? It's a bird. Any advance on a bird? What sort of bird? It's a bit tricky. A white one. That's a white bird. Is it a swallow, Mel?
Yeah, it is in black and white.
It's a black and white picture of a swallow. Yeah. Oh, what's this? That's another frog. Yep. What about that one? Yeah? It's not a mole. No. Lives in the sea. Oh, you said it, yes. It's a seal, isn't it? It's a baby seal. Mel and her boyfriend went across to the east coast of England, what, was it about 18 months ago?
Yeah.
Where all the seal pups are being born. So she found this little sea pup. Seal pup. Ooh, that's a nice bird. Is that on Poynton Pool?
No, that's actually on Hatchmere.
Okay, this is at Hatchmere, but you can see these at Poynton Pool. It's called, what adults know? It's called a great crested grebe, that one. Yeah. Oh, what's this? Okay.
A deer.
A deer. There's two deers. There's a daddy deer and
baby deer.
Baby deer. Oh, I love these. What's these? Buffins. That's great. Do you know what this one is?
Yeah.
Dragonfly, isn't it? Yeah. And what are these? Can eat these for breakfast, not these particular ones, but I think those are mushrooms, toadstools. I never
mushrooms.
Penguins.
They look a bit like penguins. They're called guillemots, okay? But they look very much like penguins. Yeah. And what's this one? It's a rabbit.
Bunny
rabbits. That's right. Ooh, can you see what that is in the wall? No. You might need a closer look, mightn't you? Can you see? I think it is a stoat. I think you're right. It's a stoat, isn't it? Hiding in the wall there. What's this one?
A bird.
Meadow pipit? Oh, okay. Sorry, can I go back, Mandy? So we're just going to have a moment of silence, and I'm going to... if we could go back to that first one. Because that's us gone through all the pictures. That's it. So we're just going to have a moment of silence, and I'm going to let you look at these pictures and just give thanks for this wonderful world in which we live. So let's pray using these pictures. And I said to myself, what a wonderful world. Amen. Oh, there's one more. I don't think we're going to sing this one just yet. No, okay, I've got something for you all to look at the front. Do you want to come up to the front and see what I've got? Yeah? That's right. Look at this. Ooh, do you think I can lift it up? God, blimey, isn't that heavy? What is that? A log. Is it an ordinary log?
No.
What's different about it? It's smooth there, yeah?
And it's very prickly.
It's very prickly, is it? Yeah. Hey, can you see anything special on it? It's bumpy there. Do you know what those bumps might be?
No.
No. Any ideas what the bumps might be?
It's a bit more cutting stuff.
Cutting stuff? That's right. It's a cutting stuff. How do you think it's been cut?
Because
I'll give you a clue. It hasn't been cut by a human. So what do you think cut it?
Woodpecker.
A woodpecker? It could be a woodpecker, wasn't it? It's not a woodpecker. What? A what? A rodent?
Yeah. Erosion.
Erosion, sorry. Erosion. No, it's not erosion. Something's made these.
Maybe it was something scratching.
It could have been something scratching, but actually it's something a bit different. It's something that uses its teeth. Those are tooth marks. You know, those are tooth marks. And you see, oops. You see this pointy bit at the end?
Yeah.
It's got tooth marks all over it. That's been chewed. And that's been chewed.
I think it's been made by a beaver.
You think it's been made by a beaver? That's right. This log, with its sharpened end at each end, has been made by a beaver. Do you know what? Okay. And we got some other bits here. They've been made by beavers. You can have a look at that one if you want. That's lighter, so you can have a look at it. You can have a look at the tooth marks on it, yeah? So that's got tooth marks on it. And that's a littler one, but that's still being chewed.
You want that.
That's right. And do you know what beaver looks like?
Yeah.
Beaver looks like that. Really big teeth, that's right. Really big teeth. You've got one of these on telly, have you? That it's got this big, big flat tail that it slaps the water with as a warning sign to make it go away. Okay? So, I was wondering, do you think you could be little beavers?
No.
I think you could. What I'm going to suggest you do is I'm going to see if you can take one of these carrots and do you think you could chew a point on the end like a beaver does? Like, sorry, no, you sure? I'm going to, okay? So let's see if we can chew a point on the end of a carrot, yeah? Oh, you can eat it. It's fresh carrot. It's proper carrot. Right. You're getting on with it, aren't you? No. You just want to put it back. Okay. Are you getting pointy? You see? Those tooth marks are just like the tooth marks we've got on our trees, aren't they? Yeah? Okay. So you can go and take your carrots with you. Try and make a point on it. Perhaps, maybe if you go out to Messy Church, no, it's a muddy church, there's plenty of carrots here. Oh, I shouldn't put that one back, really, should I? Plenty of carrots. And if anybody, whoa! If any in the congregation later on feels like they want to chew a point on a carrot, plenty of carrots there to do it with. Very So, we're going to sing a song now. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got some actions. You're going to do some actions with me? Okay? He's got the whole world. Oh, dear. He's got the whole world in his hands. Can you do that? Whole world? Yeah? He's got the whole world in his hands. Yeah? He's got the whole world in his hands. Got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Okay? And then there's another one that he's got, you and me brothers in his hands. But of course, there you've got to point to somebody male in the congregation. You and me, brothers, okay? And then there's you and me, sisters, later on. Got to point to someone in the female. You and me, sisters, in his hands. And then I think a little tiny baby comes in somewhere along. So we do that for a little tiny baby. A little tiny baby in his hands, okay? And remember that I think at the end of each verse, it goes back to the whole world. So that's the thing that'll catch you out. Okay? So let's all stand up and sing with actions. He's got the whole world in his hands.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the in his hands, he's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
I think that's what we've got.
You've got the baby.
Oh, Jamie, I haven't got the little baby, but we'll have to look it out next time. Okay, so thanks very much for you joining in with us for the moments here. You've now got to go, you're raring to go to Muddy Church for activity. So let's just say a little prayer. Dear God, we thank you as we've worshipped together. We thank you now as we go and study or worship in our different groups. And we know that you'll go with us wherever we are. Amen. Part of our plans to go towards a Gold Eco Church Award is that we listen to people from outside the church as well as people inside the church, and particularly that we invite local environmentalists to come and talk to us about their work. And it just so happens I've got a local environmentalist in my family, so I thought, wouldn't it be great if Mel could come and talk to us about the work she's doing for her PhD. So I'm going to hand over to her now to chat to us about what she's doing. And needless to say, it's to do with... Have I lost your beaver? No, it's to do with the beavers. The beaver's in the bag. Put the beaver on the log, eh? Does it sit on?
Maybe.
No. There we go.
Is this on now?
Yep.
Oh, that's smart.
Is that one if you want it?
Yep. Cool. So hello everybody, my name is Melanie and I'm the daughter of these two lovely people down here. And as Dad said, he's invited me to come and talk to you today about beavers in Cheshire in the UK. You know, why we're reintroducing them, why they're so important and the future that they have in this country. This is one of our beavers that we have on site. His name is Rowan, and he's quite a friendly beaver. So just a little bit to start about me. I've basically loved animals my entire life. They've been the majority of my personality, to be honest. And all I've ever wanted to do is work with animals. So I'm trying my hardest to do that. And my PhD that I'm doing at the moment is, you know, my ultimate life goal. I love any kind of animals, but I really like native animals that we have in the countries that we live in. The UK has a massive biodiversity crisis. It's incredibly low on all biodiversity scores and for the entire planet. So it's a key area that we really want to increase. And we want to get our biodiversity back, because biodiversity has massive implications on a whole load of things, from the food we eat
just to the world we live in, into our gardens, the birds that will come to our bird feeders, all sorts of things like that. So to start off my journey, I did an undergraduate degree at the University of Leeds in zoology. Here I worked with, for my undergrad dissertation, with natural resources whales, and I was looking at the creatures that live on the soft sediments of the SCOMA Marine Conservation Zone. So SCOMA, I'm sure everybody maybe knows it for the puffins that we saw earlier, although actually they were up in Northumberland. But yes, so I studied the all the lovely crabs and the kind of snaily creatures on the seabeds, and they are absolutely wonderful. Then I moved on to doing my master's at the University of Liverpool, where I worked with the Cheshire Wildlife Trust, working with this absolutely gobsmackingly beautiful little creature, which is a hazel dormouse. They are one of the creatures that are declining at quite a high speed due to climate change in our country. They are really great signs of a really healthy woodland environment where you've got a really nice scrub layer and biodiversity. So we want them to be able, if we have dormice, we have biodiversity with it. And then after that, I moved on to where I am right now, which is at the University of Liverpool, again working with the Cheshire Wildlife Trust on their reintroduced beaver project. So what is a beaver? Here again, we have, I think it's one of Rowan's little kits. As Dad kind of introduced them, they are these gorgeous little brown creatures. They are the second largest rodent. We have two species of beavers in the world. We have the Eurasian beaver and we have the North American beaver. They basically look quite similar. They just can't breed. But they did, there's that tail slap Dad mentioned earlier to try and scare people off. But yes, they used to be part, so we've got two remaining species of what used to be a clade of 30 species. And we even had these kind of, historically, these giant beavers, which were almost human size. And I think in some respects, I'm quite happy they're not here because that could be quite scary. Yes, and what do beavers do? What beavers do best and what people know that for them is for their ability to cut down trees and build these amazing dams. So they'll cut down the trees, just like this one here. To do that, because they want like the fresh shoots that are up the top, which they feed on. They're entirely vegetarian. But they'll also want the logs and the twigs to build these dams. So this is a dam here. It's not actually the Hatchmere site. This is one down in Devon, but I use this picture because it's quite a tall dam. This one is almost my height, and they hold back huge amounts of water. So they do these really cool things, and they do that because they've got these incredible teeth. As rodents, their teeth continuously grow, and they're orange because they're full of iron. So they're really, really strong, sharp teeth, perfect for gnawing through that log. Our teeth would not do that. So what are the benefits of beavers? Why do we want them? As I said, they build these dams, and obviously, if you build a dam on a small stream, you're going to create a wetland, you're going to cause flooding. So we produce these lovely flooded areas, and they all have knock-on effects. The first one, there is a massive benefit to these flooded areas for invertebrates, fish, amphibians, and many more animals. So amphibians, very easy to look at the benefits. In one of the Kent reintroduction sites, they counted the clumps of frog spawn before reintroducing beavers and after, and it went from something like 50 clumps to 500 clumps. So massive increase for amphibians. Amphibians are one of our most understudied species, along with reptiles. So if you get frogs, you might get grass snakes. Grass snakes, understudied again, would love to see them coming back. They will, as I say, invertebrates will come back. On more water, more fish, simply quite obvious. And all these kind of species, so the invertebrates, the fish and the amphibians, they're all kind of prey species, things that things love to eat. So then you'll have knock-on effects on like predatory birds. At my reintroduction site, I often see kingfishers and cormorants and all sorts of things. And that just has a knock-on effect to the wider environment. The other thing that they can do is they can improve water quality. I'm sure we've all heard about things like surface against sewage and the recent water companies not doing very much to get sewage into our local waters, and beavers will help to improve water quality. When they slow the flow, they build their dam, they'll slow the flow and increase the time it takes for water to go through that area of the stream. And this leads to all sorts of, you know, the plants will take up all the nutrients, and that kind of locks it away. The sediment, so the kind of dirt that's in the water, will fall to the bottom of the pond and again kind of be locked away. So we see much cleaner water coming out of beaver dams than from the top. And this is all excellent things. And that also benefits things like our invertebrates. So there's kind of a combination effect there. The other thing that they do, drought and flood resistance. I'm sure Poynton is very aware of the flood issues. As they say, they slow that flow massively. They reduce the kind of the peak level of water that will be coming through a small stream, and it release it much slower. The other thing that we had, I think 2022, I think it was, we had a massive drought year. Lots of places were drying up. Delamere would have been the stream that the beavers are on. It would have completely dried up, but during that year, it never dried up once. This photo is actually from the very far side of the SSSI, for the Hatchmere area. And, you know, nobody wants to see those large cracks in the ground. It looks like something out of the savannah. Whilst in the beaver enclosure, it looked like these two photos here. It was lovely and lush. And then the other amazing benefit of a beaver wetland is simply for having a beaver. Lots of people like to have to find a justification to reintroduce animals that has some sort of benefit or something like that, but can forget about the actual benefit that simply having that creature back in our environment has. Beavers are native species. They've been here far longer than we have, probably. And they deserve their place in that environment. So, history of beavers. I've kind of mentioned that they've returned and they've been reintroduced. Just go through a little bit about how we lost them. So, classic kind of story. They were hunted for their meat, their fur, and their oil. So they actually produced something called castoreum, and that used to be used in baking as a substitute for vanilla. And I'm pretty sure we're probably all quite happy that that doesn't happen anymore. And so because of this, they went extinct in England and Wales during the 12th century, and in Scotland in the 16th century. And by the 19th century, there was only about 1,200 individuals across Europe and Asia. But luckily, you know, people noticed this decline and thought we need to keep beavers here. So there was legal protection, hunting regulations, as well as reintroductions and translocations. And by the turn of the 21st century, we had over 1 million individuals across Europe, which is absolutely excellent, and that kept them on as the least concern on the IUCN Red List. So the IUCN Red List, don't know how much you'll all know about it, but it's basically a scale telling us how at risk an animal is of extinction. So you go all the way to threatened or incredibly vulnerable. And least concern is basically the best category you can have on there. So they're quite healthy now in Europe. But obviously, the UK is an island nation, and although they are strong swimmers, they're not going to be strong enough to swim across the English Channel. So even though they returned in Europe, they were still extinct in the UK. Until about the 2000s, where we started seeing these kind of... nobody really knows why, it's a bit of a mystery. Where they came from, but they're thought to have been either deliberate releases that were unofficial or escapees from private collections. But for some reason, we ended up with beavers back. And then in 2009, the first UK reintroduction programs began. And by 2019, 10 years later, and 2022, beavers gained legal protection in Scotland and England. We're still waiting on this in Wales, but it basically means that it is now illegal to harm, disturb, kill a beaver, or do the same to its wetlands and breeding grounds. So, in the UK, where's the reintroductions mainly happen? So those first unofficial releases that I talked about were on the River Tay, sometime prior to 2009, up in Scotland. So they're first back in Scotland. And then following this, the Scottish government decided to do a Scottish beaver trial. and that was in the Napdale region, and they sourced their beavers from Norway. This ended in 2014, and with the conclusion of this, they got that protected species status that I mentioned. Following this, beavers popped up on the River Otter. I know it's quite confusing, otters and beavers, but it was beavers on the River Otter. And that was the first unofficial reintroduction again. So escaped from somewhere, someone deliberately put them there. And at that point, the government wanted to capture all the beavers and basically give them to private collections or someone else, take them out of the environment. But the Devon Wildlife Trust and the University of Exeter stepped in and said, hang on, these beavers have massive benefits in Europe. Let's give them a shot and see what they do. Let's study them because the River Otter is quite confined in its catchment, so they're unlikely to get out of it. And this led to the Devon beaver trial, which concluded in 2020. And because they were linked to the University of Exeter, there was lots and lots of research going on. And they presented a really, really good case to have beavers back in the UK, which is excellent. And that sparked many subsequent releases, including the Cheshire Beaver Project, which is now the 10th in the UK. And it's Hatchmere on this map. So, why Cheshire? Why did they want the beavers? So, as mentioned, Delamere is a lovely place, and on the outskirts of Delamere, we have this little mere called Hatchmere. It is a site of special scientific interest, and it also has Ramsar status, which means that it is an internationally important wetland. These meres that we have here, they were formed during the Ice Age. You know, they still have some Ice Age creatures in them. You don't find them anywhere else. They're not going to survive anywhere else. They're really important. We want to be maintaining them. So they've got fauna, the insects, the invertebrates, the bird life, the fish life. They've got habitats that are really rare, and they've got really rare plants as well. We've got bog myrtle in there, which smells delicious, and all sorts. So nationally rare creatures live in these areas. Unfortunately, they haven't really been managed for the level that maybe they should have. The area has been historically drained because it's got peat and burnt. There's also been agricultural runoff, which has changed plant biodiversity, and it's also led to increased in algal bloom. So the mere here, that lovely murky green colour that it now is an algal bloom event that happened in 2016. And that is a satellite image. So you could see this from space. Really not what we want in somewhere that's meant to be internationally important. So then the Cheshire Wildlife Trust, who've been trying to manage this site for the last 20-odd years, decided to release a pair of Eurasian beavers, so there's a male and a female, into an enclosure on the inflow to try and improve the conditions. They're in a 4.5-hectare enclosure, and they're basically left to do whatever they want. And that was in 2020. And now they've had 5 kits. So there's 7 beavers there now living in Cheshire. And they're the first to be born in the area in over 400 years. So really kind of pioneering work that the Cheshire Wildlife Trust have been doing. So a little bit about what they've been doing. What have the beavers been up to since release? So this is a little map of that enclosure. And the blue lines is all the water on the site, and that's the arrows, kind of the main flow of water through the site. Historically, water would travel very quickly through this site, take all the sediment and the dirt straight into the mere, and that's what's leading to high nutrient levels and the algal blooms. And in dry periods, it would basically just dry up, which is just not what you want for a water body. So when the beavers were released in 2020, the very first thing they did was they plugged the outflow. Almost instantly, they chugged it full of twigs and mud, and then they did nothing. For a whole year, they sat in the snow by themselves, didn't really do much. So we were kind of like, why aren't you doing what a beaver does best? Where is your dam? And they finally did that just as I was starting my PhD in 2021, and they caused this massive increase in flooding in the area. So now we've gone from that tiny little stream through the site to almost a quarter of the site being covered in water. This is the dam here. And they also, they're best known for building dams, but they also do a whole range of other things in terms of changing the site. So they actually dig canals through the vegetation to try and push water up, and because they swim very well, but they don't move very well on land. So they changed it all upstream as well through these other modifications that are less obvious. Then the following year, they, you know, one dam was not enough. They started building more. They started reinforcing the original stream through the site. And they even started digging these little channels off the main dams to push water in a completely different direction. And we started seeing the outflows of the site change. So now the water kind of just flows all the way through the fence. And they've really changed it into this magnificent wetland. And you know, before we had a quarter of water, now almost half the site is a flooded wetland, and it's absolutely beautiful. I see all sorts of lovely creatures there, and the field work is literally the best part of my life. And it's really beautiful. So this is a nice little demonstration of how it's changed. So this is the original kind of little agricultural drain that ran through the site. And on the your left is before the beavers were reintroduced, and on your right is after the beavers were reintroduced. So what you can see is that looks kind of dry, the water looks quite muddy, there's no flow, the vegetation is all kind of weeds, not things we want. You know, the canopy's quite, you know, it's not really letting any light through. And then after the beavers, they've chomped down a couple of trees, they've opened up the canopy, and then we've seen different plants being produced. So we've now got more wetland typical species, like the reeds, and we've got all that water, which will now be home to a multitude of different animals. And that video that I showed you earlier, the beaver was just at the end of that stream there, chomping away. So what are the things that we've seen at the Cheshire reintroduction site? We've seen increased water storage, excellent. That we had a year of drought, they kind of mitigated a lot of the implications that we might have seen beforehand, and increased drought resistance across the site. The site is a kind of wetland. With a wetland, you want a high water table. You don't want the water table to drop. The beavers have been helping with this. We have seen evidence of water quality improvements. It might take some time to actually improve the quality of the mere, but you know, this is one step towards doing that. We've seen benefits to plant life. The site is now completely different from what it once was, and it's looking really beautiful. And there's many more effects as well. We've seen an increased number of calls from bat species. There's been an increase in wading birds, where I see an awful lot of frogs and toads on site, and it's really excellent. But the future of beavers in the UK, I think they will be okay, but there is quite a lot to do to get them really back into our country, back into our landscape. So the little black dots on this little, I think the slide's kind of been messed up a little bit, but it is fine. The little black dots on this slide are all where we've got about 50 of these enclosures across the country. But as long as they're in enclosures, they may as well sort of be treated as zoo animals. You know, what we really want them to be is wild species. And one of the main barriers to this is the political situation. Unfortunately, the current government at the moment isn't really interested in beavers. And they've kind of slowing the process that we have now. So what we really want is to change people's ideas about what's important and what we should be doing. And what we really do want is beavers back in our landscape. We do already have them. There are as an increase in the wild living beavers. I think there is now actually two small little populations of beavers in Cheshire. But what we really want to be able to do is actively help those populations to grow, not just kind of let them do it by themselves, because with any good reintroduction program, you really do need some help. But for now, you know, we've done absolutely lots. They are in a good point, and it's much better than it was 10 years ago. So there is hope for these lovely beavers. I think that's my last slide. Sorry.
Thanks very much.
Is this going to go off?
Yeah, go on, let's give her a clap. I'm really lucky. I'm privileged in that Mel's going on a field trip tomorrow, and I'm booked in as her assistant. so I'm going to spend tomorrow morning in my wellies in Hatchmere. We won't see any of the beavers. They tend to be much quieter in the winter. But we certainly see that wonderful environment. Cheshire Wildlife Trust are our chosen charity as a local charity as part of our eco-church work. They hold open evenings at the Hatchmere site in the summer. And if there would be members of the congregation who would like to, you know, have a little car trip, a road trip across to see the site, and the potential of seeing, we can't promise the beavers will turn up, but quite a lot of people do get sights of beavers when they're there. We'll try and arrange that sometime over the summer if people would like to. People would like to do that. We're going to come back to this time is one of the songs I've written. I'm going to reflect on how our response to the natural world makes us reflect on the lives we lead. So let's sing this song, Like a Caterpillar Feeding. Now going to have our Bible readings from Jean and Roger, I think.
It on the seas and established it on the waters.
From Leviticus chapter 25 verses 3 to 5. For 6 years sow your fields, and for 6 years prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the seventh year the land is to have a year of Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest.
From Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 and 2. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy.
Isaiah chapter 55, verse 12. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands.
I'm not going to preach a full sermon, but I did want a little bit of time to reflect on a Christian perspective of our care for the environment. It'd be nice to think that we'd just go to the Bible and get a straightforward message on how we should relate to the environment, but as with so many things, there are mixed messages in the Bible. If we look at some texts, one perspective comes out, and if we look at other texts, different perspectives come out. And I think it's just worth reflecting on some of those different perspectives. So most people, if they're asked to think of a Bible passage about creation, will go to the first book of Genesis, won't they? It's the obvious place to start. There are actually two creation stories in Genesis, one in chapter 1 and a different one in chapter 2. But if you look at the one in chapter 1, it's got these quite, I think, alarming words in it. Fill the earth and subdue it. The idea is that it's humans' roles to control what's happening on in the wider environment. Rule over. Our role is to rule over things, the concept of dominion. It's interesting, if you listen to people, Christians preaching on the environment, they say, the biblical concept of stewardship. As far as the Bible's concerned, there isn't a biblical concept of stewardship. The biblical context here is of dominion and rulership and ownership, and that leads very quickly onto exploitation. If you look at the second story of creation, a subtly different message comes out. Adam and Eve were put in the garden, or Adam at this stage was put in the garden to work and take care of it. There's no suggestion in this that man has dominion or rulership over things. His role is to tend and look after the Garden of Eden. It's quite a different message that comes across. I think the most alarming verse in the Bible for ecologists and environmentalists is this one that comes from the story of Noah. After Noah and his family and the animals come out of the ark, God says, be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall on the beasts of the earth. Isn't that a horrible thing to say? The beasts will fear you, and all the birds in the sky, and every creature that moves on the ground. And actually, for all it's horrible, that really sums up in many ways how the world is at the moment. How the animals are quaking and quivering, and they're not conscious, of course, but they're being subdued and pushed to the bounds of extinction. If they were conscious, they would fear and dread us. But that's a selection of the Bible readings, and I don't think those few readings in the early parts of Genesis are actually characteristic of the picture that comes out of a lot of other parts of the Bible. So we're now coming on to the verses that I asked Jean and Roger to read. First of all, Psalm 24, which kind of sums up the relationship I think we should have as Christians with the environment. The earth is the Lord's and everything that's in it. It's not that we've got a privileged, as humans, a privileged position with the environment in the world. We are part of the world. The earth and everything in it is the Lord's. So we're all in this together, humans, plants, animals, and the wider environment. Then there's this wonderful phrase from Leviticus about every year having a year where you don't plant any crops. And the reason you do that, because the land needs a year of rest. Things need to slow down. It isn't just a question of us exploiting everything for the maximum benefit. It's not just that we have a land, a year of rest in order that we can get better crops the year after. We need a year of rest because the land needs it. And rewilding programs like Mel's are saying, let's put aside areas of this country that can rest, rejuvenate, and replenish. And then this great stuff from Isaiah. Isn't he just such a poet? These images. The desert and the parched land will be glad. Can you imagine desert and parched land being glad? But that's what Isaiah says. This is the vision of the future. The wilderness will rejoice. Wilderness, rejoice. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The vision here is of the whole planet. Humans, plants, animals, the very desert, worshipping God, giving thanks, and reflecting his creative powers. We'll sing this at the end of our service, but these, again, fantastic words of Isaiah. The mountains and the hills will burst into song. Not just the congregation will burst into song, the mountains and the hills. And the trees of the fields will clap their hands. It's an inclusive picture of our environment, of nature, of humanity living together. And all because God created them. And we want to acknowledge what a wonderful creation that is. Let's sing another of my songs. This is a song that imagines that we take the demands of the planet seriously, that we as a community set out to reduce our carbon emissions. And this imagines in 250, the day when the world celebrates that we've achieved that task. Here we are in 2050. Zero carbon day is here. Please be seated. Let's pray. And let's just savor that vision. Let's try and turn from the despairing and giving up attitudes to our environmental crisis. Let's have a vision of how the world can be if we all collaborate and work together. Let's have a vision of clear blue skies that are free from pollution. Let's have a vision of turning from burning fossil fuels to clean sources of energy. Let's have a vision of people around the world being able to grow their own food and nourish their own families, as many have done for centuries, even millennia. Let's have a vision of the world as a better place. A world which me as Christians might proclaim is the world that God intended. Let's just ask forgiveness for times when we do feel tempted to give up. To just hand the problems over to somebody else. For not holding our politicians to account. Let's ask for forgiveness for when we get sucked into the modern desire for consumption. When we take more than we need. When we're not satisfied with our daily bread. But let's know that if we forget these, if we confess these sins, if we resolve to live differently, if we want to work for the kingdom of God, then God will forgive us and welcome us to work with Him. We give thanks that we have this opportunity to start again. To start again to recreate this wonderful world. Having prayed for those wider concerns, we also reflect on anything that might be heavy on our mind at the moment. Any personal or family situation that might be concerning us. Any awareness of people who need to know God's love. Help us to be the response to our own prayers, to bring that love to all people we know, that the world will be made whole. And we ask these prayers through Jesus Christ, our friend and Redeemer. We're going to echo those words of Isaiah in our final hymn, "You Shall Go Out with Joy."
trees of the field shall clap their hands. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And you'll go out with joy. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And you'll go out with joy.
You can go and nibble a carrot afterwards if you want. You can certainly come and have a look at the tooth marks on this, which is magnificent. But please, go into the world to love and serve the Lord. And as you go, wish the fellowship of Jesus to each other. May the fellowship of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore.